Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 275, stanzas 3 and 4. This all ages shall record for the glory of the Lord. Thou dost hear the humble prayer, for the helpless thou dost care. Thou eternal art and great, heaven and earth thou didst create. Heaven and earth shall pass away, changeless thou shalt live for a. 3 and 4 of Psalter 275.
We wish to read out of God's holy and precious word a portion out of Luke 2. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 2, beginning with verse 21 up to and including verse 40. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing and all-ruling God, King of thy church, also in the way of providence in the midst of this world, whereby we are gathered together once again as a congregation in this afternoon hour, and we may be also in the midst of this part of our flock once again. Remember those who do gather in Calgary also this day and from day to day. And wilt thou grant help in all the labors and also thy blessing upon the word which is read in that place, and may thou give all over thy this creation, and also within thy church, that those that may serve therein may receive help and strength from thee, that thy kingdom indeed may come also amongst us as a people, that many may be born in Zion, and that there may be a longing to return unto our Maker and our Creator. Thou knowest all the hearts of each and every one of us. For another year that is quickly going by, so that we have come to the last Sabbath in this year, and so also the last sermon that shall be preached also unto us, or that shall be read unto us, shall one day come, the last time that we will read in thy word, the last prayer, the last supplication, all the means of grace that are bestowed upon us, they also will one day come to an end, for which we, with our children, will have to give an account. Oh, that thou may impress this matter upon us, for many times we have been gathered together, and that word that has come unto our ears, it has come into our minds. It has received, hopefully, a little contemplation. But, Lord, thou knowest that it needs also the power of thy Holy Spirit to change our heart and to change our life, to give us new hearts of flesh. Thou dost say, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, that thou wouldst look upon young and old under the privileges that we have received, that they may never testify against us in that great day of days, but that they may be a means in thy holy fingers, for the conversion of young and old, for the opening of the eyes of the blind, that we may be given eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, that our feet may run after thee, and that we may with longing hearts and desires, that we may read, that we may hear, that we may supplicate unto thee. O Lord, thou alone art God. All power is given unto thee in heaven and in earth as the mediator of thy church. And thou wilt also come one day as judge. How shall we, with our children, give an account of all thy blessings, except that thou dost grant us that that indispensable blessing of thy Holy Spirit. Come then, do teach us and lead us and guide us into all thy truth. And when there is a longing that is planted in the heart of this one or of that one in our midst, that thou wouldst also fulfill it with thyself. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. That thou wouldst speak, Lord, in the days in which we live with our dear children, and when we have with our children departed so far from all thy ways and all thy truth, in our father Adam, and by our own doings day by day, and when we have no desire, and when we are careless concerning the things of thee, then it is a one-sided work that must be accomplished from thy side alone, and that is for the first time and also by renewal. Look thou upon thy people, that it is only possible to sin it all away, time and time again, so that we make ourselves worthy, that we are cast away by thee,
and that we increase the judgments because of thy goodness, thy long suffering, thy grace, and of thy mercy. Oh, if it were not for an accomplished work, if it were not for a covenant that was sealed with the oath of God, then it would be for us impossible. But thou art faithful to thy own word of truth. Oh, that thou wouldst then finish for thy people what thou for them hast begun, and that thou may give that the longings that thou hast placed within may be satisfied, that there may be meat in thy house, and that there may be those who are hungry and thirsty, that there are those who are filled with meat, that thou would bless us, O Lord, undeservedly, for thy great name's sake. Do help in all the circumstances of our life, for thou knowest each heart in each home, and all the condition of each and every one. We lay before thee once again him who is to receive surgery in the week to come. O Lord, that thou would be on the right and on the left of him and of the physicians that are about him, and that thou may bless this surgery for the healing of his body, and wilt thou bring him safely through, and wilt thou give a heart that may go out unto thee in all things. Remember others, another that does recovery from surgery. Wilt thou give healing for the body, and give patience also for the time is long, and that thou may remember all those that are afflicted and sick in these days in which we are, for the sicknesses are many. Oh, that thou thyself may heal, and that thou may instruct us in the uncertainty of our life, the frailty of our bodies, that we are but a tabernacle that is made of clay, and that thou canst speak, and then it shall be dissolved. Oh, that we may learn to hasten for the sake of our life. Remember all that rule and reign over us in every level of government, and all those that are upon the judgment seats. Wilt thou remember those judges that must make a decision concerning our own school and others? Or that thou may grant a favorable decision, and may it be according to thy holy word, and that thou wouldst deliver us, O Lord, when we are not able to deliver ourselves. And wilt thou bless us undeservedly? Look upon us in this hour. Wilt thou help us to bring thy word, a little portion, a little word. But Lord, wilt thou give the entrance into our heart. Give to us thy spirit in a rich measure, and do fill this house with thy presence, that the smoke thereof may fill this place, that it may be in a feeling and a believing way that thou art in our midst, and that we may receive the profit and thy name the glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 202, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. And what follows? The last collection today is for the Calgary Loan Repayment, Psalter 202, all the stanzas. Thank you.
Beloved congregation, it is the last Sabbath day of this year. What has been the profit of all of the Sabbath days which lie behind us? What has been the profit of all of the labors that have been expended upon our soul? Because all things, they do come to an end in this world. For 6,000 years, the earth that has existed already is so far. But that also will soon come to an end. We read that the heavens themselves, they shall pass away like a scroll, that the elements, they shall melt with a fervent heat, and that the earth and all of the works that are in the earth, what are those works that are in the earth that you have accomplished in this past year? On your farm, in your labors, in your home, in your business, the earth and all of the works that are in the earth, they shall be, do you know what, children? Do you know what the Bible says? They shall all be burned up. Everything that we have done, it shall all be burned up. And the Lord, He will purify this whole world from sin. Thus, that will now be the end of all of the labors of our hands in this world. Thus, what will now be the profit from those labors? It is for this time. What will now be the profit from all of the labors in the house of the Lord? We read in the Bible of persons that David, he says, there is none abiding. That means that there is no one that continues to live. That means that we are but strangers, that we are but sojourners in this world, that we are all renting here below. But do we live as a sojourner? Because a sojourner is one who is looking to the end of his journey. He is always looking to that place to which he is traveling, and the place through which he is traveling, that is not so important. But to where is he going? And a traveler, he has a desire that he may reach his journey. Solomon, he says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better also, he says, is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. You have a little baby at home, children. And when that baby was born, then you were also glad. But now Solomon says the day of our death, better than the day of our birth, will it be so for you? The end of a thing, better than the beginning. Why? Because in the end of a thing, then the purpose is fulfilled. Then the aim is received. So that must be also. Will it be well? And will it be that the day of our death is better than the day of our birth? We want to consider for a moment. A man, the day of his death, that was better than the day of his birth. Out of the words of our text, Luke 2, verses 29 and 30. Luke 2, verses 29 and 30. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. So far, the words of our text. Simeon's request to depart. First, the strange sound of this request. Second, the comfortable foundation of this request. Simeon's request to depart. First, the strange sound of this request. Second, the comfortable foundation of this request. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart. We say the strange sound of this request. Why? Because, children, what does he ask for? Well, because he is asking now if he may die. And we do not often hear that a man, he desires to die, because man, he is just the opposite. We can read that also in God's word, that man, he is seeking to retain his spirit, because Solomon, he says that that is, as it were, a warfare. That a man, he has no weapons in that warfare, but he is seeking to retain his own spirit, that he would not have to let that spirit go. He says, in that warfare, there is no discharge. That is, that there is no power, he says, in that day of death. Even the devil says the same, skin for skin. All that a man hath, he will give for his life. Thus, those two, we call them the most intimate friends, the soul and the body. They have no desire to be parted from one another. Death is called in the Word of God an enemy. Are you afraid to die? Because Paul says that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And what is it that man is fearing in this world more than death? Do not all his other lesser fears, do they not all really end? Do they not all really culminate in the fear of death? Indeed, we were not created to die. Young people, they will say to you today, death, that is just a natural thing. No, it is far from natural. Because death, that is a consequence of sin, and that man does not want to confess anymore. Thus, death, that is a punishment. God has not created us to die. God has created us to live. And he has given, and not only given, but also maintained in the world in which we live, the desire to live. That is the wonder. Especially since after the fall, There is so much misery and so much pain and so much sorrow that if the Lord did not maintain that very strong desire to live, then all men immediately upon the smallest affliction and trial and tribulation in this world would desire to die. But the Lord, he must bring in his church. Therefore, that human race that needs to continue even unto the end. And that is why we say a strange sound to our ears. When here we read the request of Simeon, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart. Indeed, we do hear that you say sometimes. Indeed, we hear that more and more, do we not? In the day in which we are living, the request that I may be euthanized. Then the request that is not coming to the Lord. That request that is coming unto men. That is coming unto doctors. It is coming unto family members. That a man may be, that a man's life that may be taken away. It is coming unto those who have no jurisdiction over life and over death. They have no right to ask another man to take away their life. Neither has any man a right to take away the life of another man at his request. Why do those requests come? Much of this that is coming out of ignorance. Much is coming out of an ignorance of God. The man does not understand. And it is also out of unbelief. That he does not believe that he has after his death to stand in judgment. That he does not believe in an afterlife, because there are those that today say that man, he will be completely annihilated. That means children, they believe that we are just like a dog or just like a cat. And if we die, then we are dead. Dead is dead, they say. So that when our body ceases to be alive, then our soul also ceases to be alive. And then there is no more thinking, and there is no more loving, and there is no more willing. That dead is dead. That is an age-old error that continues and increases more and more in this world. There are others, they say that there is not positive punishment. There is only the punishment of loss. That is, we will lose something, but we will not have to suffer anything. We will lose the benefit of life, but we will not suffer pain. That there is indeed perhaps a heaven, but that there is no positive punishment. There is no hell. Then there are others, of course, we read it in God's word, that believe that they will enter into glory, but we read that it is a vain belief. Thus, requests that come to men out of ignorance and also out of unbelief. Those requests, they are coming unto men also because of rebellion. Because we do not want to suffer when the Lord, he has said, thorns and thistles. When the Lord has sent pain and sorrow. When the Lord has said affliction, trial, tribulation, all because of sin. And man, he says, when I do not want to suffer, I do not want to receive this punishment, then just take away my life. Thus it is also out of rebellion. There is some also very dangerous, a very wicked thing, and that is, young people, that the aged head, that the gray head, that is today more and more despised. The man, when he cannot fulfill what others think that is a useful position in society anymore, and the usefulness of his life that is all finished, and when there is no more quality of life, as they will say, and then a man might just as well die. Do you know what the Bible says? It speaks about the gray head, and that gray head is a head in which there is wisdom. Do you believe that, young people? Do you seek for the wisdom of the gray head, of the old man, of the old woman, who has for years been given to experience what this life is all about? Who, when they come toward the end of their life, are given to see even in a natural way more the reality of life? That all in this life is vanity, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Oh, to what will multitudes awake in that day of the reality of death, the reality of judgment, when they have requested the taking away of their own life, the gift of God, that only God can give, and that only God has the right to take away. It is to be valued, a precious gift, not to be played with also, with dangerous activities in the midst of this world. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart. Say, who is this? We read it is Simeon. Who is Simeon? We read the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Thus, this is a God-fearing man. And not only is he a God-fearing man, but we read the Holy Ghost was upon him. That is, in this moment when he has spoken these words, that he is under the special operation of the Holy Spirit. What are the circumstances? You know it, children. Joseph and Mary, they have now come into the temple. They have come with whom? They have come with the little child. They have come with the child Jesus. It is after 40 days the Lord Jesus was born. And now there were the days, it was according, we read, to the law of purification. 40 days after this male child was born. And now they must offer their gift of purification. Thus, you say, the Lord Jesus, purification? What did the angel say? That holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God? And now must there be a fulfillment of laws of purification? Is there then some defilement? There is no defilement with this child. There can be no defilement with this child. And yet, we read that the Lord Jesus, he places himself under the law. That is, he comes just as if that he was a sinful person, just like everyone else, just like his own children. Just as if there was sin that had to be put away. Just as if there was guilt. Just as if there was pollution. And now Simeon, he sees him. And when he sees him, he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And because the Lord Jesus didn't didn't have. They make pictures of him sometimes, children, do they not? We don't do that. To make a picture of the Lord Jesus, and then they have a ring, a halo around his head, as if that he looked different than another child in this world? No. No. He looked just like all the other children. So how would Simeon have known? Only one way. Then his eyes, they needed to be opened, that he may know, that he may see who this child was. And so the Spirit of the Lord, he fills the heart of Simeon. And Simeon, he sees, and he may know who this child is. He sees not with his natural eyes only, but he sees with spiritual eyes. Did you ever ask the Lord, when you would come into the temple of the Lord, when you would come into the house of the Lord, that the Lord would give you to see not only with natural eyes, but that you may have your soul's eyes opened? When you have come 52 Sabbath days in this year to the house of the Lord, was there ever one Sabbath day, the whole year that is now gone by, ever one time coming in the house of the Lord, that with Simeon, the Spirit of the Lord may open your eyes, and that you may see something, that you may see something as you have never seen before? Simeon may see him. And when Simeon sees him, what is now one of the first things he does? We read that he blesses God and he requests to die. Is that not a wonder? That is now what a sight of that child is able to do. That is what the eyes, the spiritual opening of the eyes, is able to do. To take away every fear that lives naturally in the heart of a man, of the greatest fears of our life, to take them all completely away, and to draw a man, to draw his soul out unto the Lord. What does he say? Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart. Was that unbelief? That was just the opposite of unbelief. That was faith. It was according, we read, to the word, to thy word. That's according to the word of the Lord himself. We read it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So, in a very special way, Simeon has received a revelation. It was revealed unto him, a revelation from the Lord, that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. There is a special purpose for this. The Lord himself knows the purpose for this. But we can hear that also Joseph and Mary, they are wondering at the things that are spoken concerning this child. Therefore, we may be sure that one of the purposes for this have to do with Mary and with Joseph. But now for Simeon himself, there has been a promise from the Lord that the Lord, he was going to prepare him for death. That when he must die, he may die. That preparation made death a comfortable thing for him. Do you desire such a thing? As a comfortable death? But then it has to have a good foundation. That is our second thought. Is that not a great wonder that a man can request death, not out of unbelief, not out of ignorance, but by the Spirit of the Lord, that a man, he can be asking to die, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart. That is proof of something. That is proof that although that a man, he must go through death, that there is no escaping death, it is proof that the Lord is able to take away the sting of death. Do you desire that? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Who would not desire this? We read of Balaam that he said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Oh, that is indeed the desire of all men, that we may die like a righteous man. But Balaam, he did not want to live like a righteous man. How did Simeon live? We read he was just. We read he was devout. But what do we read about Balaam? Balaam, he was a hypocrite because he was looking in the first place to receive all the riches that are in this world. And then for this, he will use his religion. That is not just. That is not devout. And if we will not live as just and devout, then we cannot expect to die the death of the righteous. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Death that was to him no terror. Death was to him something that he looked forward to. Death was something that he welcomed. Death was something that he here desires. Was that then a sinful desire? Was that then just to escape all the misery that can be found in this world? Oh, it was not. But Simeon desires another life because there is a church in this world that cannot escape sin. Until the moment that this flesh, that this body, that is laid in the grave. You say, how is that possible? That a man can now look forward, that a man can desire to die. That is so unnatural. Simeon was not ignorant. No, Simeon had a good foundation for this desire, and it was a good desire in him. He was prepared for this death. By what? He was prepared for this by a sight. He was prepared for this by a revelation from the Lord. He was prepared for this by a spiritual opening of his eyes. What does he say? He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Thus, when the Lord opens his eyes and when he sees the salvation of the Lord, then his heart that is drawn away from this world, when his eyes may see something of the salvation of the Lord, and then he desires no longer to be burdened with the burdens of this life. Salvation is a deliverance from what? That is a deliverance from sin. But salvation is also a deliverance from the consequences of sin. What is the ultimate consequence of sin? What did the Lord say? In the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Thus death is the ultimate consequence of sin. And now if this salvation of the Lord, if that is delivering from sin, and it's delivering from the consequences of sin, then it also delivers from the ultimate consequence. It also delivers from death itself. Does Simeon not have to die then? Oh, Simeon still has to die. But death is for Simeon not a punishment. That punishment that is in death, that is completely taken away. And death becomes to him something else. The Lord makes it into what? He makes it into a passage. He makes it a passage into eternal life. He says, let me depart. Do you know what that word depart means? That word depart, that means to be set free, to be released, to be dismissed, just like a prisoner from his bonds. Thus, this is what now death is becoming to that church, that is a release. Then it is necessary that we have that sin has become a burden to us, that we desire to be released from that burden of sin. Thus he says, O Lord, now let me depart. Now let me be dismissed from the service of the flesh. Let me now be dismissed from the service of sin, vanity, carnality, everything that is limiting me here below. From every burden. Oh, the desire for sanctification, that is a desire of that new life, that is not only to be delivered from the guilt of sin, but also to be delivered from sin itself. Oh, do we have a desire to live truly in this life according to the holy law of the Lord? Because sanctification, that is now the beginning of the salvation of God's church. It is the beginning of the deliverance out of sin. But that church that is by times longing, and especially when they may be given to see something by that eye of faith of him, and then their heart that is being drawn away to that time when there shall now be a perfection of that blessed sanctification, and when all sin that shall be completely done away. Let us sing 422, the 8th stanza. Remember, Lord, how frail I am, how few my years. My life is like a cloud that comes and disappears. Has man then lived in vain, who can in death's dark hour escape the dismal grave with all its ruinous power? And what follows? The eighth verse of 422. That he says, I am in a great strait, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Thus, a great strait. His soul desired to depart, and yet there were things in this life, the burdens of the church, often burdens of family, that are tying such a child of the Lord also in this world. But we read here that the Lord, he is also able to take away those straits in the life of his people. Because Simeon, we read here, he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Thus, we read there was a man who waited for the consolation of Israel. That was not only for himself, but that was for the whole church. Thus, the weight of the church that was laying on the shoulders of that man. Does the weight of the church, does the good of the true church also sometimes lay upon our shoulders? Do we have sometimes to go in our inner chamber for the welfare of that true people of the Lord, the remnant of the Lord? Is that a concern also for young and old among us? Those cares, they lay, we read that here on Simeon. He is waiting for that consolation of Israel. And the Lord, he opens his eyes. And when he sees that Savior, then he may also look into the future. And the Lord, in that same moment, he takes away from him all those cares. Because the Lord is giving insight that he may see who now is above that entire church and who is caring for that church. That Simeon, he may rest every care and every concern, he may lay it now upon that child, that king of his church. For all the he has prepared before the face of all people, it says, to lighten the Gentiles and also the glory of thy people Israel. So there was not one of that true church in Israel and over all the world that lay on that heart of Simeon that the Lord did not take it over for him. Oh, how powerful is one sight of that child that can remove every fear that is living in the heart of a man in this world. The greatest fears, even the fear of death itself. How powerful one sight of him drawing a soul away, away from this world. That it may see this world and everything that is in it, in its reality. That it is a land of bondage. And that it receives a desire to be delivered from it all. No, Simeon does not take his own life. He does not ask another man to take his life from him. But he requests this from the Lord himself. He requests it according to the promise of the Lord that the Lord had given unto him. Do you say maybe it cannot be right with me? Because I do not dare to pray what Simeon prayed. I do not ask the Lord if I may depart. Then it must be a different life that Simeon had than that I have. Maybe everything is wrong. Maybe it is the wrong route. Maybe it is nothing but hypocrisy. Because here is a man just and devout. And if I waited for the consolation of Israel, then I should have now those same desires. What did Hezekiah do when the message came to him? Then we read he turned his face to the wall and he wept and he prayed. And he prayed for what? That he may die? Or he prayed that he still could live? Was it right with Hezekiah? Or there was also a man of the Lord who can die? All God's people can die. Believe that, children, there is not one of God's people who cannot die. But it is one thing to be able to die from the side of the Lord. And it is another thing that by a true faith that our heart is desiring now to be released. Because that is now something that the Lord is giving unto his children as a special grace in his own time. The year comes to a close soon. Tomorrow, the last day of the year. Our life that also comes to a close soon. Can we die? Do we ever think about death? Do we ever consider what is taking place after our death? We cannot die except that we have a Savior. Do you believe that? What a blessing it would be if we may now, each one of us, may receive here what Simeon had. If each one of us, young and old, may be given this longing to be delivered from this land of bondage. Did it ever become a land of bondage in this world? There is only one thing that can work now, this desire that is light, that is spiritual light in our soul. Into this mediator, in the heart of a man who has to die, in the heart of a man who is not able to die. Simeon says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That is what did it. That is what did it. And what do our fathers say? There is one comfort in life and in death, that I may know that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, one sight of him, luring, 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 away, away from this temporal abode. Oh, they must then see something. Must they not, children? If such a sight, say, I do not want to die. No, if such a sight would make you loose from this world, if such a sight, if you could see something which would so draw your heart that you would desire to depart out of this life, then must that not be a beautiful sight? It must be more beautiful than anything then that you have seen in this whole world. It must be more comforting than any comfort that you have ever found in this world. It must show to you more joy. It must show to you more happiness and more glory that it could possibly draw your soul. That you would say unto the Lord, O Lord, let me now depart. What is it? What is it then that is so powerful that a soul may see? A people, we read, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Why? Because they cannot find consolation. They cannot find comfort in this world. They cannot find it in themselves. They cannot find it in their fellow man. Miserable comforters are ye all, Job said. They have to wait for that consolation. Why? Because they cannot take it. Because the Lord is free in His time. And thus, they are waiting for it. Job says, I go forward, but He is not there. I go backward, I cannot perceive Him. There is the reality of that life, that looking for Him, but not being able to find Him, and that waiting for the consolation of Israel, that is a people who do not wait in vain. Because the Lord does not put His people to shame, then they may see. And what is it that they may see? Well, the Lord, He is free. But what do they see? They see something. That he is the child of His Father. They see how that the Father, He loves him. That He is the only begotten. But it is the Son in whom that the Father is well pleased. For the Father is not well pleased in me. Or then they see how that the Father, He is well pleased in His Son. Or they see in Him the image of the Father. They see in Him the love of the Father. They feel it. The favor of the Lord. And that is in some portion felt by them. They see the love of the child. The love of the mediator. That is experienced in His humiliation. That He came even for such as them. They see the Savior in that child who came to seek and to save that which was lost, even as I am lost. Thus, the suitability. They see a blessed suitability in that child. They feel a preciousness in that child. More than all the precious, the gold and the silver that can be found in this world. They see perfection in Him. The perfection of His works, of His mediatorial work. They see the perfection and the power of His intercessory work. Oh, what do they see? They see a beauty. They see a beauty that is drawing their soul away. And when they see Him, then they can die. Even in that moment. That is a moment when faith is brought into exercise. It is a moment when their heart is in heaven. Because that is the place where their treasure is. And for just a moment, then they may be above all the strife that is found in this world. They see and they feel the vanity and the emptiness of everything that is here below. And then it goes away again. Then it goes away again. Then they are left with what? Then they are left with themselves again. Then they are left, as the psalmist, he says, my soul that cleaveth unto the dust. then they remember. Oh, what that was, that sight of him that drew them away. And they say, oh, Lord, quicken me. Quicken me according unto thy word. They fear. When death comes, how will it be with me? How will it be? Oh, will I be so afraid? Or, oh, will I be able to ask? Will I be able to say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according unto thy word? The fears, they are many. Why? Because of unbelief. Faith not in exercise. But I knew an old elder many years ago, so afraid for so many years. Then the moment came, and he was laying there on his deathbed, and he said to his family, is this dying? Is this dying? So blessed and so sweet that the Lord made it for that man. Congregation, every one of us, not one person is going to escape this death. Must we not say, blessed Simeon? But what did Simeon say? He said, blessed child. And he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. Oh, ask the Lord for one sight of him before you die. The Lord's Christ, the most beautiful, the most precious sight that you can ever see in this whole world. The most soul-comforting sight, a sight to make your soul desire to go away, to take away all your fears, that you may depart in peace when your eye, it may see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, the Lord grant it to young and old alike, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, remember each and every one of us, because there is not one that will escape that last enemy, but thou art able to make it into a friend, that we would invite him, that we would desire him to come, and that we would plead with thee, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Show us then, O Lord, thy salvation, one sight of thee, and what thou hast done. O glorify thy own name, and give us to seek for that blessed portion of thy own dear children. And give this whole world to become a burden unto us. Give that sin may become sin, and that we may desire to be released, and that that day may appear, and that we may be asking, and that we may be longing, and that thou wouldst fulfill that desire. Remember those that have become old, for thou knowest there are many fears that are living in their hearts. And when that time is approaching unto them, O Lord, help them, remember them. Some and do not know anything anymore, and they cannot even read thy word anymore. But thou art able to be with them, and wilt thou supply in old age, and wilt thou teach us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Bring us together with desire the day of tomorrow, and in the next day. Help all that must take the active part. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Song of Simeon. Lord, in thy temple we appear, as happy Simeon came, and hope to meet our Savior here. O make our joys the same, and what follows in all the stanzas of the Song of Simeon. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.